You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We're also heard on the World Wide Web.
That's right. We are heard on the World Wide Web on 1510wwbc.com. That's also the app, the free download in the App Store, and that would be WWBC, and pick us up anywhere in the world, Sita.
Thank you, Paul. Ellen O'Neill is off today. Samantha Nazario is filling in for Ellen. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. It's my first show of the year.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. You weren't here for a few times. Paul, I just want to let you know that we thank you for taking care of our show. Thank you for helping us with the sponsors. And we're going to have an action-packed year this year, 2022. And thanks for filling in for Ellen and saying that part as well. So we sit here on Mondays, and this studio has become part of my living room, I should say. I'd like to move the conversation to my home, but I won't get that chance. My husband won't let me bring all the people into the house. So we have a spot here at the studio, and we know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And we're grateful to Paul, our manager, our producer of our shows, and WWBC for letting us be here for 12 years. Going on 12 years, Lindsay, can you believe that?
That's a long time. Yes. Way to go.
So we have an action-packed show today. My friend Lindsay Sharp is here, and
Deborah Dye
from Sharp and Dye Law Offices. You guys have the second segment, and we're going to talk a little bit on the second segment with you all about the pandemic, what's happened during the pandemic to relationships, to people who won't compromise, people who resent each other, people who are cooped up and got cabin fever, and a lot of stuff happened with relationships. And so we'll tell people why they should pick Sharp and Dye, right?
That's exactly right. Or really, I mean, any family law firm that focuses 100% on family law.
But, that's right.
But I'm partial to Sharp and Dye.
Right.
And so are we.
And our first segment, our friend Jessica Travis is paying for the first segment. And we're speaking to a young lady who is probably on the phone already. Sabrina, thank you for taking the time to call in. You have opened our eyes, Sabrina Davis, to this free-to-kill bill that's circulating a petition on the internet and everywhere else, and you've taken the time to go to Tallahassee and speak with our state legislatures about an incident that happened to you. So we're going to tell you to inform our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends why you became an advocate and an activist for this bill. So take it away. Introduce yourself.
Hi, Sita. First, I want to say thank you for letting me call in today and share about this awful law that only Florida has, and I hope and pray other people do not have to find out about it the way I did. I never knew of this law. I work in pediatrics. I'm in the healthcare field myself, and it was a shock to me, and it's painful. It hurts. And in the state of Florida, statute 768.21, if you look at subsection 8, it's a loophole, and not many people know. And it states if a person dies of medical negligence, gross medical negligence, and that person was single with no minor child under the age of 25, then nobody can be held accountable, even the person at fault. So my father was a 62-year-old self-sufficient veteran of the United States Navy. He lived alone. He worked on cars. He had a wonderful life and was very full of life. And he woke up on a Saturday with knee pain. So I helped get him to Brandon Regional Hospital, our local ER, and we educated the staff on his past medical history, which included blood clots, and they documented this in his chart. And my father and I both asked, can you please order an ultrasound to check if he's experiencing a blood clot in his left leg? And the staff declined several times. They said that my father didn't need a blood clot, this was nothing to worry about, that he needed bed rest. So on the sixth day, on Thursday, my father got a discharge order from his primary care physician, and it read that he would be sent for physical therapy. So my dad and I spoke up until 10:09 a.m., and at 10:28 a.m., I got a call stating that my dad was code blue, he had no pulse, and he wasn't breathing. What do I want them to do? And I was certain that they had the wrong number, but I said, if that's my dad, you get him back, and you don't stop till you do, but I think you have the wrong number. Well, at 11:20 a.m., I got the final call, and they stated that it was my father, and no form of resuscitation helped. The hospital declined to do an autopsy, so I paid for one privately. And 5 days later, that autopsy doctor performed an autopsy on my father and called me that same night, and he stated that he found a 9-inch-long blood clot in my father's chest. It was 100% preventable, and that I should pursue this. So
what you're saying is they never did an ultrasound?
They never did an ultrasound. They never ordered a simple ultrasound. For my father, he had great pain insurance. We asked him several times, at least 9 that I can recount, and they never ordered a simple ultrasound. So after contacting 8 lawyers, and I was being asked, was your dad married? And I'm like, no. And they say, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 30. They said, we can't help you. And finally, the 8th one educated me on this law, this Florida statute 768.21, subsection 8, that says if you're not married and you have no minor children, you cannot pursue accountability. And this is how I found out personally about the law.
Wow. Huh. Well, Samantha is here, and I know you two know each other. I don't know if you've met face-to-face before.
Yes,
you have.
Did.
And she's got a couple of questions to ask you as well about the law.
Sure.
Hi, Sabrina. How are you?
Hi, Samantha. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, hon. I'm so happy we have you on today. Elaborate and explain to us, how did you find out about the law?
Sure. So the 8th lawyer told me about a group, the Florida Medical Rights Association. The last thing I wanted to do was join a group, right? I'm crying, I'm in pain, this is very painful, and it's hard to believe. You think, no, it won't be me, but it can be anyone. And so the 8th lawyer told me about Florida Medical Rights Association, and I looked them up on Facebook, and they do a Zoom meeting every 2 weeks, every other Thursday. The next one is this week, actually, on Thursday at 7 p.m., and it's where a group of people come together, all experiencing the same issue. Perhaps they lost a mother, father, brother, sister, son, or daughter, and we meet in the group. We cry. We share our story. We get new people every other Thursday, and it's a group fighting to get this law changed that only Florida has, but I will state it can happen to even someone who's visiting, like a tourist, because if you come to Florida and you're single with no minor kids and you die of negligence, it doesn't matter where you're from. If it happens in Florida, no one can hold the person at fault.
This is totally like unbelievable. I had no idea this existed. So tell our audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Sabrina Davis, a little bit about the married part of this, the unmarried part of this, and just being a child of parents who are not married, because you'd mentioned to me about that, and it is mind-boggling. So tell us a little bit about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. My parents always got along for as far as I can ever remember. They always got along. They just weren't married. But that shouldn't mean that my father's life meant any less than somebody who is married. And to know that if he was married, or to know if I was 24 years old or younger, that I could pursue this doctor, okay, they've already been found at fault by the Florida Department of Health, and they've been found at fault by the Agency for Healthcare Administration, and that information is public online. All of that, exactly what they did to my dad, is public. But because he was single and I'm over 24, I can't pursue. And knowing that makes me feel like anyone who's single with no minor child, will they get different health care? I'm scared to return to the health field myself because I would never want to be involved in such a situation like this. And I don't believe the age of someone's child or their marital status should determine if somebody at fault for negligence is going to be held accountable or not. It's very scary to think about our children with Down syndrome and autism who have little to no chance of ever getting married. As soon as they turn 25 years old, they fall in this category. There are many families that join our meetings on Thursday that have happened to their children that are in this category. And to this day, I haven't met a single person, a doctor or a regular citizen who wants to keep this law in place. There are four bills, and there's two in the House and two in the Senate, to end this law for parents who lose an adult child and people like me, adult children who lose a parent. There's four bills, and all they need to do is be heard. Right now, we're kindly and asking Senator Danny Burgess to place these two bills in the Senate on the agenda, bills 560 and 262. Let them be heard. Let them be voted on. We have the bills there. We just need to let them be heard so we can end this law. And
right.
Florida can join the rest of the...
So were they receptive to you in Tallahassee last week? Because you said you met with a lot of the state reps and other legislative people there. Kind of reception were you getting? What were they saying? And were they very engaged?
Absolutely. We had over 35 meetings. I went with three other ladies who one lost her brother, one lost her mother, and one is who started the Florida Medical Rights Association. Her name is Melody. She lost her father 5 years ago. The four of us went, and we had over 35 meetings. We educated a lot of people on this law that were unaware, and we got a lot of co-sponsors, and what that means is, you know, you have these bills, and when you have a co-sponsor on the bill, it's somebody who supports your change, who supports your efforts, who likes what you're doing and says likes it so much and says, put my name on the bill. I want to join you. So, I mean, our meetings went great. We got lots of co-sponsors. The Democratic Minority Leader, Senator Lauren Book, joined on. The Republican Leader, Senator Joe Gruters, joined on. Several House reps and... I'm very thankful for their support, but what we need now is for these bills to be heard.
Right. So,
and we have no commitment of that. We have no promises of that.
So did your father have any unpaid hospital bills? And was the hospital able to sue your father even though you were not able to sue them?
So that's the shocking thing I'm also dealing with right now. Yes, my dad had great insurance, so his insurance took care of a lot of the hospital bills. But I'm my dad's only child, right? So I'm navigating through this all by myself, and I'm wondering why am I getting hospital bills from Brandon Regional for anything the insurance didn't cover, yet it's public online. They've been found at fault for my dad's death. And this is something that seemed to turn a lot of heads in Tallahassee, too. I can't sue because of this law, but ACA, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, has found them at fault, but the hospital is still billing my father's estate, asking for more money after he's already dead because what they didn't do to help him. I'm still getting those bills. So, yes, they're still able to pursue and try to get more money out of what my father has left. You know, I realize nothing will bring my dad back here, but I think for everyone, they should have their fair time to pursue something like this and hold someone accountable. At a young age, we're taught consequences, and if we take these consequences away from people who hold the matter of life and death in their hands and let them keep making the same mistakes, what will ever let Florida have better health care if we have this law?
Well, Miss Samantha Davis, Sabrina Davis. Jeez, I'm looking at Samantha. So listen, you know what? Advocates are born out of sometime tragedy and disaster. And, you know, after speaking with you and hearing your story, I do feel like there's a place for you in our world to be an advocate for others. So I do hope you run for office later on in life, because you are so articulate. And your story, it goes to the core of all of us when we say all lives matter, when we say, you know, people's lives matter, that we should be our brothers and sisters' keepers. You are the person that we all have now in front of us. I mean, your dad, you loved your dad. But I have a question for you. So what happens if you are 26 or 27 and you're not dependent financially on your father? Because as a person, a moderate thinker, I'm thinking, well, if a child over 25 is not dependent on the dad or the mom who passed away due to medical malpractice, negligence, then maybe the legislators in Tallahassee, maybe they looked at that and this law came about and they said, well, maybe that person don't need any financial assistance because the parent who passed away was not actively financially taking care of that person. So has that come up in your group at all?
Yes, that has come up. From what I understand, there's two main reasons why the legislators who are keeping this law in place are keeping this law in place. And from what I understand, I'm no pro, but from what I understand, their first concern is doctors will leave Florida, okay? I don't know where the doctors will go because, again, no other state has this law. I do not believe doctors will be leaving Florida when this law is changed, because, again, there's nowhere they can go to get away from this law. And second, they state that medical malpractice rates will rise if this law doesn't stay in place. I do not believe that to be true either. This law was put in place in 1990, and rates have been rising since then. So we can't blame this law that's in place for rising rates. And, you know, a second outlook on that, when it comes to human life, accountability is non-negotiable. We can't put a price on someone's life. It's just like when someone gets in a DUI crash, we don't say, let's not hold them accountable. Their car insurance rate will go up, right? So Why should we say, let's not hold the doctor accountable? Their medical insurance rate might go up. That's completely irrelevant when it comes to doing the right thing in healthcare, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sabrina, I have a question for you. It's Samantha. Do you think your father and those who fall into this category are treated differently?
I will be honest with that question. I think in some cases, absolutely. I think if you have a single person in one room who's code-blueing, and a couple in this other room over here who's code-blueing, and they know this person's single with no minor kids, and they know this person's married, 100% they are going to help the married couple first. Because in this case, letting my dad die was cheaper than keeping him alive. If they kept him alive, he could pursue on his own. If they let him die like they did, nobody can sue yet. At the other end of this rope, I do not believe that they knew my dad fell in this category. I believe they honestly messed up big time. I got a call from the hospital a few days after my father died, and it was a lady. And she said, was your dad married or did you live with your dad? And I said, I don't understand what this has to do. And she said, I'm calling with the hospital's insurance company. Was your dad married or did you live with him? And I said, ma'am, I don't feel that I need to answer this question. This is irrelevant. And at the time, I didn't know of the law yet. But once I put it together, I realized I never heard from this woman again. But why would she call me and ask me if my dad was married or if I lived with him? I don't believe they knew my dad fell in this category. But I do believe in some cases people are treated differently when they know. I've heard stories where one girl's brother was only 30 years old, and on his whiteboard in his room, it said, single, no minor children.
Oh.
Why would they have that? Why would they have that wrote on the whiteboard? His sister didn't know at the time why that was there. And there's another lady in Jacksonville. Her son died, and on his whiteboard, this is a completely different person, unrelated to each other, didn't even know each other. On this other young man's whiteboard, the word FS was wrote, and his mother said, "What does FS mean?" And it meant Florida statute. He fell in the category, and he did die.
So tell us. We only have a few minutes left. So tell us about the petition that you all are circulating for others to sign to get support to at least have this bill looked at for people to just be educated about it and become aware.
Yes, there's a letter online. If you go to FloridaFreeKill.org and you click sign letter for change, it will bring up a letter asking all 120 House reps and all 40 senators to consider helping get this law changed. And it states the four bills that are in Tallahassee right now to end this law. So that's FloridaFreeKill.org. And then look for the tab that says sign letter for change. And if you're listening and you want to get involved, other than going to the site and reaching out, call your local senator, call your local House representative. They're in Tallahassee right now. So call the 850 number. You know, if anyone needs help, I'm happy to help you find who your person is. Call them and say, "Hey, I fall in this category, or I know someone who does, or my child does, or this has happened to me. Help us get these bills heard. We need help. We need help from the people and the voices. That's what is going to get us somewhere.
So
that's where I really need help."
So when you talk to people about this bill, are they shocked? What are some of the responses you get? And what are you doing to encourage others and educate others?
I've got so many shocked people. At first, people think there must be more to your dad's case, you know. Why can't you pursue? And I show them online where the hospital's been found at fault. And then I pull up, you know, Florida Statute 768.21 subsection 8, or you simply Google Florida Free Kill and it will tell you. And then these people, they're still shocked. But, you know, in Tallahassee, I think it was worth mentioning that a lot of these House reps and senators, their assistants fall in the category. These people are just barely over 24 years old. They're just barely out of college. They're single with no kids, right? We learned of one senator's assistant whose sister is 25 with Down syndrome. She's in the category. Many of these assistants, their parents are divorced, so they're in the category. And the amount of people I meet every day that don't know of this law, and then I personally ask them, are you single? Do you have children? And when they, you know, answer and they fall in the category, and I asked them, do you think it's okay that you would be treated differently if you went to get help? It's wrong. Nobody has ever agreed with me that this law should stay in place.
Your story is really shocking. So here's the thing. You have a little boy and he's deprived of meeting his grandfather. And we share something in common too. Your son looks a little bit like my grandson. Yes, saw his
son.
I saw her.
He's Middle Eastern descent. He's adorable.
Well, he's Indian.
He's Indian. His father's from Guyana.
Yeah, he's Indian like myself, from the Caribbean.
Yeah. And he asked me all the time, why did Grandpa go to the hospital for knee pain and not make it out alive? And having to answer a child, why did my dad go to the hospital for knee pain and not make it out alive? Because someone careless didn't take the time to order an ultrasound. And explaining that to my son is very, very hard.
And an ultrasound, I mean, they order that all the time. I just don't get it. So did you ever sit down with the physician himself, we only have like a minute left, and ask him point blank why he did not order an ultrasound?
I have called him after my dad died and begged and screamed and said a lot of things for him to order an ultrasound. For him to order an autopsy. And when he said, no, I don't ever order those, I said, what will you put on my father's death certificate? He said, cardiac arrest. I said, listen, my dad didn't go in there for knee pain and stand up and die of cardiac arrest 6 days later. This didn't happen the same day. This didn't happen the next day. This happened 6 days after you left him sitting on bed rest, not helping him. And at that moment is when I said, I will have an autopsy done, and I will find out what happened. And if it shows you did something wrong, I will have you held accountable. And I hung up that phone just to find out about this law.
Well, thank you so much. And if somebody wanted to get a hold of you or join your Facebook group, Do you have any contact information that you could give our listeners on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends?
I would welcome them to join Florida Medical Rights Association on Facebook. I would recommend that they go to floridafreekill.org, sign that letter, sign up to get our emails, try to join the group on Thursday. Again, we need help, and it's people out there who can help us. So, yes, Florida Medical Rights Association Facebook or floridafreekill.org.
Thank you so much, Sabrina, for your time today. What a big difference in your confidence from when I first met you to now. So, thank you. So our viewpoint with Zeta and Friend listeners, and we'll be heading out for a commercial break. We'll be back after this.
Thank you.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Our dial is WWBC. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And Paul, we are heard on the World Wide Web.
Yes, if you're listening in on Sweden, like the letter I got this week from Sweden, listening in on WWBC. You can hear us on the web at 1510wwbc.com, though our listener had the radio dial tuned in to 1510, and he sent me a snippet of our station from Sweden.
Yeah, I've had people inform me that they're tuning in India. I mean, and they hear it loud and clear and very, very crisp.
AM, so that's AM waves.
That's right. Weird. So Shop and Die is here. I love that. I love those names.
It's well, just perfect. You. Together, right?
So you guys are here, and we're going to talk a little bit. It's one of our law firms here in Brevard, and I'm proud to say that Lindsay Shop is my friend, and I've recommended people to her firm, and they're very, very happy about the results. And they feel like you listen, they feel like you're fair, and they feel like you make a difference in their lives. So welcome.
Well,
so I'm going to let both of you talk to us a little bit and tell us a little bit about yourselves. So Lindsay, you go first.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us on today on Sita and Friends. So I'm Lindsay Sharp. Thank you for the introduction. I'm a local family law attorney. I've been practicing here in Brevard County since 2005 and practicing family law and dependency. And dependency, Sita, just so listeners are aware of it, that's when you essentially have DCF in your life. That's just the best way of putting it, the Department of Children and Families. But we've been doing this for a long time now, and we formed Sharp and Die when I brought my partner on, Deborah Die, who's also here. And Deborah has tremendous experience as well in the dependency arena and family law, and prior to that was actually practicing in personal injury and medical malpractice, just to fall back to what Sabrina Davis, your previous guest, was speaking of. So at any rate, our office is in Indy Atlantic. Our website is sharpdylaw.com. It's SHARPDYE law, LAW.com. And our phone number is 321-951-7600.
Right. And Deb, I love Deborah's name. I wrote D-E-B-R-A, but it's not that. No, it's D-E-B-O. D-E-B-O. Oh. Fancy, fancy. Oh. Nice.
Thanks, Mom.
Yes. Yeah, so you, yeah.
No so, one can spell it.
So yeah. you joined Lindsay, and it's going really well.
Right,
it's apparently.
Going well. It's been almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I'm looking over at Lindsay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful partnership. We both have a lot of the same passions. We have a lot of the same views on things. Now, don't get me wrong. We also have not so same views, but that helps us to understand where maybe our clients are coming from or the judge is coming from, and we try to better ourselves each day with situations such as that.
Well, mom used to say, look at your fingers, right? They're not all even.
No.
We're all different, and we all bring different ideas to the table, and we all have, different life experiences, and we bring that to our jobs with us, to the workplace, right?
Right.
So, but when I think of Shop and Die, I think of Lindsay, aggressively fighting for her clients in areas of divorce, child custody, child support, spousal support, and cases involving temporary and protective orders. But of course, we all saw what happened with the pandemic. And I've been reading so much, Lindsay, about people have found that during the pandemic and the lockdown, they can't stand each other and they can't compromise. So talk to us a little bit about some of the clients that you saw the last couple of years that maybe they were able to compromise, maybe they were able to just make it work for the sake of the children, or maybe they remembered why they fell in love or whatever it was, but they didn't.
So sometimes work, besides providing us financially and emotionally, it was a buffer, right? I mean, another spouse had something that they were doing where they were getting up and they were going someplace 8 to 10 hours a day, interacting with other people outside of their families, and then coming home, spending time with the family and going to bed and repeating it the next day. So with the pandemic and a lot of remote work, if you're lucky, if you weren't laid off entirely and you were lucky and fortunate to work remotely, it caused a lot of domestic stress and strife between couples, with having to educate children at home And, you know, I say this somewhat thankfully that we live in Florida where our schools are open, because right now that's an issue in Chicago and it's an issue in other areas where they're closing the schools again. But at any rate, we saw an increase in phone calls from people that were wanting consultations to talk about divorce, because for the first time in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, even 40 years, they were alone together in a house without any real place to go, and suddenly had to get, quote, get along. And that's not so easy to do when you're housed, sheltering in place for hours and days upon a time. So we had an influx of calls, and we're always happy to help and happy to advise people. And sometimes divorce isn't always the answer. I mean, it one of our responsibilities ethically is to make sure that we're filing cases where the person can aver that the marriage is irretrievably broken.
That's right.
So it's not, you know, we don't just file every case, but we did receive an increase in calls because of the fact that people were sheltering in place and couldn't stand each other.
Yeah, and Deborah, I've heard of marriage toxicity, where people are saying, well, he's a problem, and he's saying, well, she's a problem. But sometimes it can be that neither of you are the problem. You guys just had underlying conditions in your life where you were just unhappy people. Mm-hmm. So do you think that this marriage toxicity, maybe people need to take a look at their own lives before they jump into the divorce?
I'm not sure if people can actually look at their own lives. I don't think that in today's society, we already assume that we're correct. You know, it's him or it's her. And looking on the other side, or trying to be more flexible in these hard times with COVID, because not only did we have to teach our children and we have to be in the same place as somebody, all of our convenience for life is gone. You know, we can't no longer go stop by Pizza Hut, get a pizza on the way home, and then everybody eats, they do their homework, they go to bed. Now, parents have to actually be smarter than a fifth grader, which is hard.
I don't even understand their math anymore.
And so now they're thinking, that other spouse, they're kind of stupid. You know, I always thought that they took care of that. Yeah,
people,
you know,
and people then, are definitely reexamining their lives, aren't they?
And then you're in this situation where you're together with these people, so it's hard to go, hey, don't you think you were a little wrong about that? You know, because they're going to go, no, what? I was not even a little wrong.
Right.
You know, and compromise is out the door.
Well, so nobody wants to be wrong.
Nobody wants
Everybody
to be wrong.
Everybody wants
but
to be
that's
right.
In our politics. That's in our marriage. That's in our relationship with boyfriends, girlfriends. Doesn't matter these
right.
days. If you're not on my side, you're not Team Debbie.
Right.
You're not, you know.
So and this is why I think, Lindsay, it's important that people from the get-go, from the start, choose the right attorney.
Absolutely.
So how do we get people to call Sharp and Die when they've have these family squabbles or they have a looming divorce?
Well, I think it's important, making a medical analogy is easy. If you have a sore throat, you're not going to go to a podiatrist for that. And same thing in law. If you're having a marital issue and a marital problem, you really should not consult with a criminal defense attorney.
Or your friends.
Or your friends.
Or your neighbors.
But when it comes to legal work and legal help, you really need to see somebody that focuses on that area. And in Florida, we're lucky we have a lot of what are called board certified attorneys. There's not so many in Brevard County. So when you're looking for an attorney, it's important to ask that person, what percentage of your practice do you handle family law cases? And wait for the answer. Because too often, we had a case that we won. And I think, you know, but we were skilled. We had good facts. We know the law, all of that good stuff. But our opposing counsel was a criminal defense attorney that I think was handling the case for his friend as a favor. And didn't understand that in Florida statutes, we encourage parents to try to communicate, to try to co-parent, that it's not, you're not weakening your position by calling your spouse and saying, hey, can you take the kids from me Saturday? Or I had to bring little Johnny to the doctor, he had a sore throat. Our statutes encourage communication, not discourage it. And I think we won a case in large part because the other side was refusing to co-parent at the advice of their attorney who handled criminal defense matters. So it's very important that you consult with a family law attorney. And I think that's what sets Sharp and Die apart, is because we have tremendous experience handling family law cases. It's essentially all we do is family and dependency. We don't handle much else.
Yeah. Well, you know your stuff. And the thing is, too, we've always talked about communication and education, right? And it seems as though a lot of couples, the things that's missing is the ability to use your God-given tongue, your voice, and talk. Everything breaks down when we can't communicate right. truthfully and honestly and respectfully. And I find, like, during the pandemic, people just forgot, they just forget how to be respectful to each other, to use inside voices, to be kind. So, Deborah, did you all see that, did you have a slowdown of any cases during the pandemic because of the courts?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we have. We've seen a slowdown, and even to this day, we're still not in the courtroom.
Yeah.
I mean, we're having to do everything by, you know, Microsoft Teams or Zoom.
Yeah.
Which is, it hurts us as attorneys and our clients because they can't see, they as in the judge can't see the passion, they can't see the person disagreeing, they can't see their face, they're laughing behind, they don't know who's in the room. That's the big one for me, is that we can have a hearing and the other side could be sitting right there and have somebody else coaching them. We don't know that. We have to, and we have found, haven't we, mm-hmm. that several times I've looked over to Lindsay that that's what's happening, you know, or they're texting each other. You know, then you have to bring it up to the court that these things are happening. So the slowdown has happened and it is still happening. And also because of our court system, unfortunately, we're losing a lot of judges
yes.
here in town. So, I mean, the people get mad at us and we're like,
yeah, the pandemic yeah. just didn't affect
right.
couples
no.
and children. It affected yeah. every aspect of life.
It did.
I mean, we all yeah. have to. It's like we're all reborn again to, mm-hmm. to like we're just trying to survive, right? And compromise is not a bad word, Lindsay.
No.
Right? And what has happened with the word compromise always meant you listen to the other side, the other person listen to you, and then you come together and you make the right decision. But it seems as though even picking an attorney, some people might say, well, my attorney wants me to compromise too much.
Yep. Correct. And we deal with a lot of changing one's vision for how their divorce is going to go. And it really trying to work on aspects of when you settle your case, when you're at least open to the other side's position, chances are you are going to find yourself feeling a lot more in control than when you just punt it all to the court and you have that judge decide who doesn't know you, doesn't know your children, who doesn't know what your special circumstances are, who is there, you know, and our judges are great, but they're also administrators, so they have to be mindful of the clock, they have to be mindful of their docket, they have to be mindful of so many things. They're meeting you for 1 or 2 or 3 days, and that's it, and then they're moving on to the next case. And so compromise is a very good word because the more that we can isolate the issues, the more that we can check off the list, and if we can at least maybe agree on a parenting plan, but we don't agree on the asset distribution or vice versa, the more that we can narrow the issues, the less that that person's going to be in court. Court is extremely stressful. And I think that that's what people tend to take for granted is they don't realize the investment of their time, money, and stress when they're in court. And when they're in court with someone who's really shouldn't be representing them, that confounds the problem because it is so much more difficult to modify a judgment or, you know, to go back after the fact and try to fix mistakes that happened. It's impossible, sometimes very, very difficult.
And costly.
And costly.
So,
Deborah. I have a quick question for Linda, for
yes.
Lindsay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Lindsay, I've experienced here myself, family members with, let's say, pro-dad or pro-mom kind of state, right? We know New York is a pro-mom state.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen here that under anger, men will many times just agree to whatever it is to get it over with. And then when they're looking back at it 2 or 3 years later, when they want to fix something, it's virtually impossible
yes.
in Brevard County to get a parenting plan changed.
Yes.
They think they're going to get in trouble if they take the kid this weekend and not that weekend. So can we kind of like elaborate to our listeners, do you get in trouble if you switch your weekend? If your ex-wife calls and says, I want you to take them this week. I have an appointment. I can't do it. Do they get in trouble or is that a room allowed in
not
the parenting
at all.
Agreements?
In fact, we tell people that repeatedly when we're in mediation or we're negotiating a parenting plan. We say, this is your default. Okay, so you can take this parenting plan. You can put it in a drawer, a desk drawer. And as long as the other parent agrees with deviating from the plan, then you have no problem. And and our courts want people to work together.
So it goes back to communication.
Correct.
So, Deborah, what do you say to people who say that the law views marriage as a business? Because at the end of a marriage, you have to divvy up assets.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, true.
A lot of people don't think of their marriage as a business.
It's a contract.
It is.
It's a contract.
I mean, yeah. So what do you say to people who say, oh, I had no idea it's viewed as a business, but it is. It's how do we educate more people before they plan that big old reception and get that beautiful dress and the venue and everything else? Listen, you are entering a contract.
Right. And it's still even hard. I mean, I think that you're going where you're going. This is like prenuptial agreements,
right,
things
right,
like that.
Right.
And I'm going to springboard this off a little bit with Lindsay here as well, is that I find that with the prenuptial, we're still not getting someone in a perfect mindset as someone who would have a contract. Like if you have McDonald's and Burger King and they make a contract, they're going to be very clinical about it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, to me, I have found that with any kind of prenuptial agreement, you're still in a, when you say, Lindsay, that you're still in a
bind.
It's
only what you have at the time,
oh my
right?
gosh,
right.
Yeah, you're in love. So, everything's okay until you find out at the end when you need it that it wasn't there because you were in love.
Correct.
So you're always in a bad situation, in a bad position, I believe. But Lindsay does a lot more
prenuptial
agreements than I do.
My biggest complaint about prenuptial agreements is the fact that societally and culturally, it tends to be in Hollywood that the man or the boyfriend is asking the wife or the bride to sign the prenup, and how that's met with such ire and disgust and, oh my God, they want a prenup. I mean, even if it is the other way around and it's the woman wanting the prenup. And instead, I invite people to look at it as that is your opportunity to bargain. It's your opportunity to negotiate. It's your opportunity to think long term.
And it's not an insult. Right. And it's not only just the love and the loving thing. A lot of times we're asked to do prenuptial agreements with people who this is their second or third marriage.
Right.
And they have older kids and they want certain assets to go to certain people. But they're reasoning about a prenuptial is a lot easier than someone who's never had one before, never really has a lot of life experience.
Yeah, I kind of think it's a great idea to have a prenup sometime, right? Because lights, water, telephone, mortgages don't stop when your marriage is dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to live, and you're going to have that money as your start or whatever you got in that prenup. But I know a lot of people, I don't know, why is it viewed so negatively?
Because we like the fairy tale.
Yeah.
I think at our fundamental core, we like the idea that we're marrying this person. Number one, that the marriage won't end in divorce. Or number two, we have romantic notions that if it doesn't end in divorce, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. And it'll all be fine.
This is real life, not Disney.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Not happily ever after.
But I think it's that fairy tale notion. And I think that if we can dispel that. So to answer, Sita, maybe it's as simple as when you go get a marriage license, maybe we require a class that you have to take.
Yes.
Maybe something to that effect.
Yeah, because it is a contract. Well, here's the other thing. People don't understand when a marriage is dissolved, what happens to healthcare benefits.
Sure.
And you don't have that insurance anymore.
Correct.
So, I mean, do they budget for such a thing? How do you talk to couples when they come to your office and they say, we want a divorce? But here's the thing. You're getting your health insurance coverage from this person, and your children is also on that plan. I mean, so what do you tell them when it comes to the benefits part of it?
So with the children's portion, let's start with that. By statute, child support is supposed to consider the out-of-pocket expenses and the health insurance costs when it comes to anything medical for a child. So that, the good news is dealt with already because that's embedded within our child support guidelines. The bad news is when it comes to a spouse who is losing health care coverage because the insurance companies cannot keep a spouse on, a former spouse, and pay those benefits. So how we normally address that is maybe it creates a situation for spousal support. And it may create a situation for when we have like bridge the gap alimony. We have various forms of alimony, but we can consider that and we can research the healthcare costs of finding health insurance on the private market or understanding that someone's net income is going to substantially decrease if they join an employer's plan. So now their net income, say, is going from $4,000 a month net to now all of a sudden they may only have $3,300 a month net because they're now on their employer's health insurance. So that may, that differential may create a situation of needing additional spousal support. Unfortunately, that's the only real way of dealing with it because health insurance companies, employer-based plans, are not required to continue coverage for a former spouse.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wow. Right.
But that's one of, and I don't mean to
interrupt. No, you could jump right in.
That's one of the reasons why we have, and we tell people, if you're kind of on the fence and you're not sure if you want to get a divorce or maybe it's time, come in and talk to us. You know, we'll tell you all of the things. I mean, we do it daily. These are the things that you need to have prepared for your divorce. These are the things you need to know. You'd be surprised how many people don't even have the passwords to their bank accounts because the other spouse hasn't. Mm-hmm. And you have to, we tell them, I'm not kidding, at least 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Of people who just don't know that. Be prepared. And that's one of the things about having a lawyer who, or lawyers who know what you have to do, is come and talk to you. We'll tell you.
Right. Well, you know the right things to ask.
Yes. Exactly.
And you know how to guide them and say, let's think about this before you would sign on the dotted lines, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And what about the children? I mean, during the pandemic, we heard awful stories about parents who could work remotely from home and parents who couldn't.
Right.
So what do you do in a case like that when you have a parent in plan that is not working for you anymore? I mean, you sit down and you communicate with the other parent, of course.
If you can.
If you can.
Which isn't usually the case. They're not open to communicating with each other once they're divorced. Yeah. That's usually the biggest problem when it comes to the kids. And
Absolutely.
Then you're stuck involving law enforcement. Or like you said, you got to take that court order and mandate your time. But thank goodness you have that court order because you'll get that time. Otherwise,
right.
you'll miss that visit.
Right.
And we live that in my family with my cousin and his ex-wife on a regular basis. And I see, especially here in Brevard, I don't see very proactive dad, you know, law firm. So I'm so happy that I got to meet you ladies because you seem very fair. Mm-hmm. And like you're going to go for what's the best suit for the children. So I will definitely be needing a car. But it's nice to see a firm that's worried about the best interest of the little people because they don't get a voice in some of these cases.
Right.
That's
so,
right.
So, Lindsay, do you feel like people's ability to think clearly was compromised during COVID-19?
Absolutely.
Give us some of the examples that you saw.
One thing that I would add, well, I think that the problem is when you're home all the time, you probably kept the TV on all the time. And, you know, with Fox News or MSNBC or CNN and the constant, you know, talking heads on and seeing debate about everything and us versus them, you know, that certainly didn't help matters. But issues that we saw repeatedly have to do with, you know, something like the right of what we call the right of first refusal. So if it's in your parenting plan that if another parent's going to be away and needing childcare, that you have to offer the other parent the first opportunity to care. Those issues came up quite a bit. Issues of when people, and again, I know people are well-intentioned, but when they do their divorce on their own for what we call pro se divorces, and they just write parenting plans that say, we'll agree to, you know, as we agree, type blank, ambiguous in their parenting plan,
yes.
And then all of a sudden pickup times are changing, and then that's an issue, or days are changing, and that's an issue, or is it a holiday, or is it a school break day, and is that going to be an issue? So just generally, we saw just all kinds of communication breakdowns.
Writing your own plan is not such a great idea, because later on, when you try to change it, it's going to cause real problems for you. So for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we're speaking with Lindsay Sharp and Deborah Dye from the law firm Melbourne Divorce and Family Law Lawyers right here in town, Sharp and Dye. And if you're interested in having a great family lawyer take care of your needs for a divorce, parenting plan, prenup, whatever it is, if it falls in your family, you need to call these ladies because they have the experience and the expertise that you don't have by picking up a piece of paper and just writing your own plan. So give us your website and how people could contact you guys, the ones who want to have an excellent attorney.
Well, thank you. And we just updated our website with a lot of new information. So go to Sharp, S-H-A-R-P, Dye, D-Y-E, Law, L-A-W.com. That's our website, sharpdylaw.com. We're also on Facebook. And call the office, 321-951-7600. We have a receptionist that is always available to answer your call. And can get you scheduled in with either Ms. Dye or myself as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think, Deborah, we have 2 minutes, Paul? 2 more minutes? Okay. So divorce involves a lot of decision-making, correct?
It does.
So people should not walk into the office without having their information at hand. What would you say to someone who is listening and contemplating dissolving a marriage or, you know, just saying, I need to talk to somebody? What are some of the things they should bring with them?
Right. If you know when you come in that you want to have a divorce or contemplating a divorce, we always say you bring in anything dealing with your assets and liabilities. That can deal with your bank accounts, your bank account numbers. It can deal with stocks and bonds, 401ks, and even student loans. Those are things, anything that was obtained during the marriage. Those are the items that you need to bring with you. We also can help you. Like, I don't want people or listeners to think, oh, I can't come in. I don't have those items. Come in. We'll talk to you. We'll give you a list.
You give them time. Yeah, you give them time.
We give you a list of all, because even people who appear to be or think that they're prepared, there's always one or two things that they don't have that they would thought, oh, I wish I would have thought about that. And just to know, you're entitled to look in your mailbox of as your spouse does as well.
Yeah.
A lot of times, oh, he never lets me check the mail.
Oh.
You know, go check the mailbox. You know, check your computer. Find out.
Find the passwords.
Right.
Write them down, right?
Right.
And Lindsay, so you, again, it all comes down to communication is key, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In more ways than one. And I would just like to say that if you're thinking of divorce, even if it's not a firm plan in your mind, it's just a thought, give us a call, because we want the opportunity to be proactive. The more that we can be involved early on, it's going to save you time, money, and stress. And if you decide to get divorced, we want to file your case and have it be seamless from the beginning. You know, and there's nothing quite like having a good offense and coming out and controlling that narrative early on, especially if your spouse that you're divorcing is a narcissist or has any sort of personality disorder. You know, we want to be able to write those pleadings and have it be your narrative that you're in control of from the beginning.
Right. And the children are not things.
Yeah. Correct.
They are little people with needs and wants, and you have to set your differences aside and do what's right for the children.
And there's no one parenting plan that applies to all kids.
Right.
Every child is unique. Every family is unique. Every situation is unique.
So the website one more time, and then we'll be off for till next Monday.
SharpDyeLaw.com. SharpDyeLaw.com.
Right.
Well, so thank you so much, ladies, for
an
information-filled show between Sabrina Davis and you guys coming on today. I love how we're unscripted and educational every week.
Yes.
See you next month.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC.